State of the NFL address on Wednesday before the Super Bowl. What do you want to hear him say? What are your demands of him, Dante? We have a minute.
I would love to hear Roger speak more about what the NFL will do moving forward. We all know the record that the NFL has with hiring black coaches in the past, even since the Rooney Rule has been implemented. I believe in 2006, there was the most black head coaches at one point in the NFL. I believe there were six or seven black head coaches, but their leash, so-called leash on coaching as a head coach has been much shorter than their white counterparts. And that's just a fact. I think we've all seen that. So at the end of the day, I would love to hear Roger get up there and talk about the steps that the NFL plans to move forward with, tangible results that we need to see from diversity in the NFL. And again, the NFL commissioner, but essentially the responsibility ultimately lies at the doorstep of the team ownership, who's are the ones that are making the decision at the end of the day.
We want to thank you, Dante Stallworth, for joining us. Sports commentator, former NFL player, spent 10 years in the league, speaking to us from Amsterdam. He was in Paris on Friday. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Currently is accepting applications for Human Resources Manager. Learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Gezder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena. I'm Amy Goodman. Wear a mask. Stay safe.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning. This is More Talk Radio. Today, if you're listening to us live, is the seventh day in the month of February in the year 2022. It is 8 a.m. and I am Cecil Prescott. This is KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. And as I mentioned, today is the 7th of February, and while the drums of war continue to beat on in Europe, we continue to work for and hope that calmer heads and reason and hearts will guide those in positions of power to stop the apparent march towards war in Ukraine. At the same time, we must continue to recognize the reality of violence in all parts of the world and the continued use of weapons and people to inflict harm and danger in all parts of the world. We also recognize that thousands, hundreds of thousands of people need to flee their homes for fear and for their safety. So there's much to be aware of and to work for. Again, this is KBOO. This is More Talk Radio. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And Celeste and I will talk about a topic that has been in the ether for the last week or two, and it is about a woman named Karen Johnson. Now, you might know her by another name, but you know. Her mama called her Karen.
Her daddy called her Karen, too.
Okay. How are you this morning, Celeste?
I am well. I was listening to you talk about this being the 7th and thinking, where had the month gone? But I'm grateful that that's all that there is, because we know February doesn't last that long anyway. But anyway, let me not interrupt. You were talking about I'll call her a guest, Karen, and I'm going to let you finish here before I jump in.
Oh, no, it just occurs to me that Karen is a Karen. Huh.
Well, and only in the literal sense, in the basic sense, you know, but in the metaphorical and allegorical sense, I don't know, some people still might say she's a Karen.
I know.
And
we not speaking about her because it is the month that is recognized as Black History Month. But we will talk more about that in coming shows and about that. But Karen has made remarks on a program that I don't know if she's an executive producer, but she certainly is a host there.
Right, she's a host and a frequent, she's a host and a fixture.
Yeah, and I think she's like the prime host, or sort of like the, when Barbara Walters began the show with Barbara Walters and all these other women, and currently, probably because of her tenure, Karen is a prime host, so she's, but say something more about Karen and why this is important for us to talk about, Celeste.
Well, before I can say something about Karen, I gotta talk about Ordinary Joe.
Mm.
You know, because this is kind of a compare and contrast.
Yes, yes.
So there's Ordinary Joe. Who is Ordinary Joe? Well, since we're referring to folks by their, you know, their basic pre-fame names, Joe Rogan, okay? Those of you who spend a lot of time on Spotify and in the ether, you know, internet radio, may be familiar with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has hosted a show that is a multi-million dollar revenue-producing machine for Spotify, okay? And Mr. Rogan has come under fire for having not just controversial content, but often misleading and disinformative content. And so he recently, you know, cut to the chase, has been criticized for having some dis and misinformation regarding COVID-19 and the coronavirus. And so a couple of boomer age, and I think this is significant, boomer age musicians and quotations superstars decided to remove their content from Spotify. And I noticed it before I really had heard it, because I was putting together a set for someone on Spotify, and there was a song that I like by Neil Young, Cinnamon Girl, I couldn't put on there. So I'm thinking, what the heck did it go? Because I've had it forever. Well, okay. It disappeared, and then you hear more about how Neil Young was pulling all of his music, and then there was a few other folks in solidarity who said that they were going to do the same thing. Okay, so it was because the company Spotify and its owners wouldn't do anything to curtail his propagating all this misinformation and things that were actually just outright harmful to people. Cut to the chase. Okay, here's where we go to the comparative aspect of it. Here's Whoopi Goldberg. And don't be fooled, you know, her name is Whoopi Goldberg, but her mama calls her Karen, as Cecil pointed out. She has had her series of missteps with the Jewish community but most recently is by saying that the Holocaust was not a racial issue. And I can see where she's coming from with it, but you know, the point is that her brain apparently wasn't fully engaged because she wasn't looking at the fine print and the rhetoric that came out of the Nazi regime, which did make it a racial issue, regardless of how, you know, all of us outside of that looked at it. And so here's what's interesting about the situation. We talk a lot about censorship and what it really means. And private platforms have the right to censor. Okay, most people don't think about that. Censorship really refers to the government not being able to shut down what the people do, especially when it is not a government-funded or government-directed venture. So, in other words, KBOO can censor somebody, but the government can't censor us. Okay, Spotify could censor and censure Joe Rogan. And, you know, they've kind of danced all around that. And he hadn't decided whether or not he's going to take any personal responsibility for what he said. Okay, and then on the other hand, here you have Whoopi Goldberg. You know, she's a pillar of wokeness. She decides, you know what? I think I need to take this hit on the chin. So she complies with the suspension. She's suspended for the show, you know, to have time to reflect. And I'm sure some people are looking at that and thinking, well, that hardly seems fair. Why is Karen taking time off complying with it to reflect when Joe is doubling down? What's up? Maybe the fact that Joseph James Rogan was a ultimate fighting championship and, you know, at one point thought he was going somewhere with it too. You know, who knows? You know, that aggressive warrior attitude, who knows? No. You know, but I just find it interesting that you're getting these two different responses from two prominent people who speak to us about the zeitgeist of this time.
Well, and again, I'm certainly not an apologist for
for either one.
Either one, and Mr. Rogan. But we also need to highlight that he has apologized recently after a compilation of his show that showed him using a racial slur repeatedly, a compilation of 12 years of his episode.
Yeah, just dropping the N-word like, you know, like it's knowledge, I guess.
Right, and so this weekend he offered his deepest apologies, acknowledging that use of the word was terrible and called his use of this slur regrettable and shameful. And he writes also that, I know that to most people there's no context where a white person is ever allowed to say that word, never mind publicly or podcast, and I agree with that now.
Oh, now.
I haven't said it in years. It's not my word to use. I'm well aware of that now. And, yeah.
I'm trying to hold my tongue so you can finish. It's
I was gonna read some more, and then I said I'll just stop there, because he said I never use it to be racist because I'm not racist.
Yeah.
But whenever you're in a situation where you have to say I'm not racist, you
really should reflect.
Blank up. So he acknowledged that you know, you have to say I'm not a racist, then you
need to reflect. I'll say that. That's what I will say. You need to reflect if you're going to have to say it.
You effed up.
Yeah. But anyway, so since neither one of us are necessarily an apologist, I mean, I like a lot of Whoopi's work. I do not worship at the pillar of Whoopi. I do not dislike Joe Rogan. I don't really consider him. I've heard a couple of his shows, and sometimes he was entertaining, you know. I mean, I get a kick out of listening to people talk about things like aliens and what have you. Well, you know, I'm a sci-fi baby, you know. I keep it in a sphere of speculative rumination. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. But, you know, I'm just looking at this because, again, they represent some interesting dynamics that are going on. It's like not only personal responsibility for what you say on the air and not just getting on there and, you know, like literally blathering and saying anything that's going to titillate or excite or inflame so you can get the dollar bill, but, you know, trying to have some measure of what is the word I want? It goes beyond personal responsibility. Accuracy. Let's just say accuracy.
Accuracy. Yeah.
You know, caring what you're saying on the air, thinking about the consequences and the impact.
Right. A couple of comments. One, in response to what you said about your non-existent relationship with Mr. Rogan, and we can talk about so-called cancel culture. But it reminded me of something I read this weekend, that you're not canceling him because he was never part of your conversation. So you can't cancel someone that, you know, you don't care about. And the other point, it occurs to me, is that there's an opportunity for expanded conversation. So when Whoopi Goldberg made her comments her ignorant comments about the Holocaust, it's an opportunity for education, and I believe that the head of the Anti-Defamation League came onto Whoopi's program, and they had a conversation for that. And then I would also for all of us who are confused about race and how do we talk about it and what does it mean, I would recommend Isabel Wilkerson's book Caste, which talks about...
Oh, yeah, you've talked about that.
Which talks about the origins of the Holocaust in terms of those of Hitler and those who worked with him in terms of gaining knowledge about how to terrified and defeat a group of people by looking at the practices of the United States in terms of slavery. So those are a couple of thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we have a caller waiting. Let's go to Willie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. I have been following the news related to Joe Rogan and Whoopi Goldberg, and beyond Whoopi on Star Trek, I'm not a huge fan of either, but I feel like the handling of both of these instances of major missteps were mishandled. I think, you know, with The View, why couldn't the next episode have been them talking about it and Whoopi saying, yeah, this is how I totally misunderstood the situation. And it seems like having that discussion on air as soon as possible would have been more beneficial than a suspension. And in the case of Joe Rogan, again, not a fan, but the context in which he used the N-word was not pejorative against anyone specifically, but rather discussing the use of the word. And I, again, not a fan, but I feel like sharing that context of the situation is at least important in describing the relevance of it in its entirety. So thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure. You know, let me do a quick parenthetical. Yeah, I did like Whoopi in as Guinan in Star Trek, but too often I felt like she wasn't given enough opportunities to not be the magical Negro. That's one of the problems I had. But I did like her. Now, she's got some really good stuff. A Long Walk Home is one of them. So I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's a good movie. She and Sissy Spacek were in it. I agree with you in that I think a conversation is how we get past these things. You know, me, I totally would have said, you know what, I'll take the suspension, but let's talk about it, and then I'll be suspended. You know, I think it gives her a little bit of moral high ground to have taken the suspension without complaining. But at the same time, I'm trying to understand, like you, what purpose did it serve? What purpose is it supposed to serve?
And there was, you know, the...
Oh,
the,
well, he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There was, you know, as I mentioned, the day after Whoopi's statement, she was on the program, and the head of the Anti-Defamation League came on, and they had a discussion, more or less, in terms of using that as a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after that that the 2-week suspension was announced. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when Ms. Goldberg returns to the program. And I'm sure the ratings will be through the roof.
I'm sure
they're not thinking about that. But.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. And I look at how we hold media folk, TV folk, movie folk, anybody in the media are held in front of our faces with this kind of reverence. You know, we make them some kind of demigod. And we sit up there and think, what are they going to say? You know, like there's some super uber influence. Well, they are. You know, I guess they are. But the thing that really bothers me is that, number one, there is no desire to be accountable for your words or your actions, because you know there's nothing Joe can say that's going to excuse, you know, his repeated use of the word. Nothing. What is he going to say? Well, I was debating the academic reverence and relevance, you know, of this word in our political and social power dynamics. It's like, spare me.
Sure.
You know, and then Whoopi is like, thanks, sister. And, you know, and I, if anything, more sympathy goes out to her for two reasons. One, growing up, to me, anybody, the common attitude in the Black community in which I moved, and I read articles and I heard people talking and I read, you know, saw on TV or whatever, was that anybody who was not Black or Asian was white. Okay? We did not make those distinctions all the time. And if we did, it was a cultural thing. It wasn't a quote unquote racial thing. Because I remember being really shocked. I was in the fourth or fifth grade. Well, one of my little running buddies in my posse, who was a young Jewish girl, she was being mistreated by the white kids in the class. And I had heard of the Holocaust. I mean, after all, I was in the fourth grade. But I didn't really get how white people made those distinctions, you know. And then my school also was in an Italian and a Polish neighborhood. So I would hear, you know, the white kids hollering names at each other. I'd hear, you know, some of the, you know, negative epithets. And I think, what the heck is going on? Y'all are all white to me.
Yeah.
So I can understand that, because Whoopi and I are roughly the same age. Now, well, I have progressed. I do understand the different shades of white. As a matter of fact, in some of my presentations, I talk about who is the white right. You know, or the right white, you know, you got to be. And I recognize there's distinctions, especially once I learned what a WASP was. Now, to the other point is that it's hard, because when you are a person of color, you better not slip up. You better not make a mistake ever, ever, ever. And so if you do something that's stupid or ignorant or a lapse, you know, it's like you have to pay five or six times over for it. And so that those are the only reasons why I give her a little bit of play.
But okay, I give her no play.
Okay,
And the fact is that we are roughly the same age, and we both grew up in New York City.
Yeah, okay, she just lost it all. You did, there it is. That's the context. You're right.
If you grew up at that time,
yes,
knew playmate who family died in the Holocaust.
Yeah,
and
that's
the
true.
Nazi made made it quite clear that they were executing
people
Jews
based on race
because mm-hmm. on their race.
Right,
and so no.
And I forgot she grew up in New York. That changed everything. Well, she lost it. Me, what can I say? I grew up in around the same time. One of my playmates was this young man named Andy. He was a little boy then. And his sister Lilo was my babysitter. Well, Andy didn't like us bullying him around sometimes, and he would call us Nazis, and he would, like, it would fry my mind because his mom was white and was German. His father was black, and Andy was the same shade as me, and I'm thinking, how can I be a Nazi, you know? And so I have evolved, I have grown, but it's just how we think of race and color sometimes when you are a person of color and you stay on the outside, you have a real complex and overlaid view.
Yeah.
But you're right. Whoopi grew up in the proper context to have known better. So what can I say?
And not to put too much emphasis on this entertainer.
Yeah.
But it's not the first time that she has made less than
made ignorant comments about, yes, about the Jewish culture. Yeah. Yep, you're right.
So we have a caller online who likes to share. Is it Harry?
Yes.
Good morning, Harry. Welcome.
Hey, greetings, and thank you for taking my call. Whoopi Goldberg is very talented. She's one of the only few women who won an Oscar, an Emmy, a Tony, and a Grammy. So what she has said, and she's very popular, but she's kind of correct in what she was saying was, last year was the U.S. Census, and the U.S. Census is there's only four races. European white, black African,
sub-Saharan,
and Asian and Native American. Jews are considered a culture.
Yep.
Just like in 2010, they changed the census because they at that time before that 2010, Hispanics was considered a race, and they says no, it's not. So now you look at the census, and now it says culture, and then under Hispanic, they know what Hispanic. They know if you're a black Hispanic or not because of your race. Your opinion on this, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, I think
your question, your answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll say that I understand what you're saying, and you're quite accurate in terms of looking of how here in our country, we've never had a settled definition,
mm-hmm.
But we have had in the sense that separating people because of differences, and we often in this context use the word race.
Yeah.
But I also go back to regardless of how we use it, if you are familiar with Germany in the early part of the 20th century and the rise of Nazism and why they attacked a particular people because they were considered the other. and Jews were not considered
they were not considered
human.
White. Yes, that's just where I was getting. Yeah, you're right.
And so, yeah, I don't think we should clean it up. They went after Jews because they consider them not human, they consider them a different race, and therefore could be executed.
Yeah. Now, I do want to make it clear, this is not just about, you know, race or the N-word. It's about the different treatment of both Joe and Whoopi. And how does this illustrate where we're going with our both idolization and adoration of influencers and people in the media, as well as the inconsistencies? Personal responsibility is a big thing for me, and I'm not going to act like I haven't fallen down. I've fallen down many times and probably fall down again. But, you know, you try to go into it thinking. And if you expect Joe Rogan to exercise some personal responsibility, you might be waiting a long time. But the thing is, he's not expected. He's not held accountable. Okay, Spotify will not suspend him for 2 weeks because they want that money. They want those dollar bills. And I'm just wondering, how does that set in people's minds? You know, do you see the differences? And it's not just an issue of race. I think it's as much an issue of gender as it is anything.
Yes.
You know, because when you look at it, it's the women more often than not that take the hit.
Yes.
I'm really surprised that Zucker at CNN stepped down and his partner is still employed. Because I thought maybe she was going to get ousted too, you know. And I sometimes have to parse out pieces of appreciation for even bad people doing the right thing, you know, just because it's the right thing. And that speaks a lot to our being a complex being. But I'm looking at Joe Rogan and thinking, you know, you apologize, but only because apologizing just increases your, pun intended, face value. That's all. Yeah. That was not a sincere apology. Not really.
Well, you know, who knows what lies within the hearts of humans.
You got me.
But I think you are certainly correct that it certainly raised
his stock,
yeah, literally. And you know, if you had asked me 2 weeks ago who Joe Rogan was, or I might have said I might have heard of him, but you know, I wouldn't have had anything to say because he wasn't on my radar. So,
well, you know, here's the thing that I'm, you know, and like I said, you can call in and talk about any aspect of this, but I don't want to lose too much in the weeds. And the number is 503-231-8187. But I'm really concerned with I feel like we're kind of like being conditioned to accept different standards of how our access to accurate media is being shaped. We talk about canceling people or getting them off the air. You know, for example, when Trump was removed from Twitter, and that sounds like a really good thing. But then you stop and think about, well, what will happen if somebody who we really respect and tries to exemplify responsibility, good information, you know, building community, being uplifting, what if they got censored? You know, but we said censor this person. And then who is going to be the arbiter of the criteria for getting them off?
Right.
How do we decide that? Because Spotify told you straight up, it's about money. Now, I'm not sure exactly what all of the intentions and attitudes and reasons why Whoopi got suspended, you know, but I'm curious as to how they stack up against Dollar Bill's and Joe's experience. Right. But give us a call, because there's so many ways to look at this. What's the phone number, Cecil?
It's 503-231-8187, but hold on, because we have a caller right now.
Good morning, Dr. Freddie.
Good morning. I was just enjoying your discourse back and forth, but I'd like to comment. It came across like Joe and Whoopi, it's a gender thing. This is America.
Yeah.
America is a very racist nation. I don't care how we lie and say this is a just and equal place for everybody. That has never been true.
Never.
As our ancestors, my ancestors were slaves under the so-called white man. There's no such thing as white people, by the way. They're light tan. They are people of color with very little. And they're angry because they don't have any melanin. That's one of the issues right there. Anyway, and I understand the census has changed, and now Hispanics used to be an ethnic group, and now they're called a cultural group. Is that correct?
It's not a race.
It's not a race, but they called it a different thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They were coming under ethnic at one point.
Okay. And again, what you're saying, it reflects the fluidity of our language and our understanding.
I got it. But I just wanted to say, as an American, I'm very appalled and shocked that we're in the 21st century and racism is as alive as now and well as it was in slavery. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Frey.
Dr. Freddie, and you know, it just occurs to me, because once we head down this, it's sort of like, oh my gosh, things are so complicated. So did you see the conversation on social media where the actress and I'll probably mess up the pronunciation of her name, Thady Wade Newton, apologized, crying because she was a lighter skinned black person, and when she was apologizing for taking all the roles that darker-skinned black women had. And she said, I didn't mean to do it, but it's I don't want to say it's funny, but it reflects in terms of what Dr. Freddie was just talking about, how we are all caught up in this mixture and trying to understand one another. And, you know, there's that movie on one of the streaming networks, Passing, it talks about about some of these issues we are touching upon.
Well, you know, the hard thing to deal with is in addition to racism, it's this whole colorism attitude that we have, and we find colorism not only among white folks, and no, we know they're not white. But, I mean, you know, that's what the culture chooses to call itself. But colorism exists in all melanated groups, too. And I don't know what to say. I mean, I feel that I kind of get that urge to want to work. And as an actor or actress, you know, perform as many different types of people as I can, but then I also get that takes away from people who have that genuine lived experience, and that's not fair. And so I'm looking at this and I'm trying to remember, what was her name? Scarlett Johansson. I think she's the one that played what's the Ghost of the Machine. Based on whatever role it is I'm thinking of, it's based on a Japanese anime series. Mm-hmm. And people were like really upset, like, why couldn't you have an Asian person play it? Why not? And you know, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, why not? And it's kind of like, yeah, I get that idea that you want to see how believable you could be playing a role, but it gets complex. It's like, why not leave it to somebody who can bridge that gap with some genuine lived experience? I don't know.
But let's go to our next caller. And Steve has some thoughts to share with us this
morning.
Good
morning, Steve.
Hello. Hey, thank you. I'm a longtime KBOO supporter and listener, and I'm grateful for the exercise of free speech on your program here. And I would just invite you and your listeners to revisit the essay that the ACLU published on their website, Speech on Campus. And it's important that we recognize that, you know, hate speech, as appalling as I find it, it is protected free speech. You know, it's the venue has the choice of who they put on there, just like KBOO, you know, chooses who they allow to exercise free speech. Spotify has chosen that. You know, and I've enjoyed Joe Rogan and Noam Chomsky, and honestly, I prefer Joe Rogan. He's just more entertaining, and he's not pedantic. He's got more vocal variety. You know, and I think that we need to be critical thinkers. We ought to listen to the right-wing talk and think critically of that, and listen to KBOO and think critically of that.
Well, that's, you know, one. That's a good point. But let me ask you this: when you listen to Joe Rogan, do you accept what he's saying as a fact or entertainment? Because, you know, that stuff goes down into your unconscious and you find yourself agreeing with things that are repeated to you. And so if he's going to repeatedly say nonsense and non-factual information, how does that affect you personally?
Well, that's an important point. I can be affected at the margins, just like we all are. When I listen to KBOO, I don't agree with everything I hear, but the more
okay.
I listen, the more sensitive I am to the left. When I listen to the right-wing talk, I disagree with 99%. But on those points where they do, you know, express ideas that I can, sympathize with, then I at least do it. But we ought to be teaching each other to be critical thinkers, whatever we plug into, and not necessarily decide that we're going to censor based on this and that, because we'll end up being just, everybody will be in their own channel with their blinders on and immune to critical thinking, and we need to respect free speech and avoid censorship. That's my take on it.
Well, I really like what you said about, you know, you don't necessarily believe everything and be a critical thinker, because that's one of my mantras. Cecil, were you getting ready to say something?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. And thank you for echoing what he, you know, that whole thing about critical thinking. Yeah. To our next caller, good morning, and thanks for calling into More Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Michael.
Okay.
You can call us back at 503-231-8187.
Yep, and you know, it is 8:40 and 20 minutes. The Old Mole Variety Hour comes up. And, you know, that's more news, views, and interviews that you can use. That's my spin on their slogan. Here on your Community Connection, KBOO. KBOO Portland at 90.7. In Corvallis and Albany and Philomath, it is 104.3. If you were in the Hood River area, you know, up and down the Columbia River Gorge, or White Salmon, Washington, that is 91.9. And on the web, of course, kboo.fm. All right. So here on More Talk Radio, what are we talking about today, Cecil?
Well, I'm not quite sure. And I think what we are talking about in a strange, different way is in terms of how do we talk about race?
Well,
And how do we
maybe.
And how do we talk about differences?
And how do we talk about media and critical thinking and, you know, cancel culture, how all that affects us. Yeah.
So give us your thoughts. 503-231-8187. And Michael, we are so glad that you are back.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with my phone, but anyways, I'm back. So I have a question about the word that white people must not say. Mm-hmm. And here's the question. I'm Jewish, mm-hmm. and I know there's plenty of words that people use that are, you know, bad words against Jewish people, like kike and maki, for instance. And if someone called me one of those names, I'd be really mad and I would do something about it. But if someone was just saying, well, you know, for some reason they were saying, well, you know, there are these bad words against Jews like kike and maki. Well, they're not using it like a weapon. The way I think about it is it's kind of like a sword. Like, you could try to hit somebody with a sword, and that's an act of violence. Or you could be holding up a sword and talking about, well, here's this sword. And then you're not using it against anybody. So it seems to me that you must have a very different idea or feeling or whatever about the words that are used against you. And I don't understand that difference at all.
Well,
so,
why?
If you felt like it, I would be happy to hear what the difference is in your mind.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like the difference hasn't been explained before. So I wouldn't mind explaining it again, but I'm fascinated, number one, why folks still don't get it. And number two, why do you feel the need to use the word?
So why, and also, I mean, the two slurs you just used, and that's often used against Jewish people, why would anyone say that unless they want to attack or denigrate? I mean, I wouldn't say those words in reference to Jewish people.
And I mean, we all understand that those words were formed as a weapon, and words have power. And it's kind of like taking a gun, and let's get something that is just plain in what it's used for, a 38 special, okay, which was known to be a junk gun used for committing crimes or killing somebody. That is not a bottle opener. It is not a paperweight. It's not a shoe. It is an instrument of harm. So why would you even want to use the word? And why is it, after centuries of explaining why it's not a good word, is white culture having a hard time understanding why they shouldn't use it?
Well, if you were teaching a course in the history of weapons and you held up a gun to show people the gun and say, well, this is this particular weapon, this is how it works. I mean, there's all kinds of linguistic...
Yes, and that is called dancing around the issue.
Here are derogatory words.
That's called dancing around the issue. Because I'm sure you are a bright individual, and right now I feel like you're dancing around my issue, parsing my words, you know, splitting hairs. If I, as a person of color, tell you that this particular word is a weapon, and any time you touch it, I'm going to perceive that as a threat, why would you still then want me to explain why you shouldn't use the word?
Because it's a matter of understanding where that comes from that would help with empathy. And I'm not
okay. Let's start with something like Billie Holiday's "Strange Fruit." Black bodies hanging from trees with on ropes, rotting and splitting. Let's start with that, or let's start with burning black men after you castrate them while they're still alive. Let's start with that. How about that? Does that give you any understanding?
No, but it's clear to me this isn't going to go in a way that's going to be helpful, so I'm going to get off now.
There is no way to make this, you know, easier. It is a word used for harm. It has no purpose other than to harm. And if it is used within the culture, it has a different meaning. And you can't use it because you can't comprehend the meaning. You just proved the point. It's not a word. I do not believe that I should use the word kike, for example. There are a lot of words that I have to police myself because I've been ingrained into using them, and I bite my tongue too many times. You know, when I'm in the wrong company and I'm hearing stuff, I had to pull myself out and recalibrate. There are some words that are not meant to be used. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, Cecil?
Well, I think, and you, I don't. Yes, there are words that you shouldn't use in polite company. That there are some words that I just will not use because, by the nature of them, they're used to their origins and their use of them is purpose is to dehumanize or to cause harm. So why would I use it at all unless I wanted to dehumanize a person or to cause harm? I don't pick up. I don't know. Some people might say, well, I kind of like the shape and the feel of a gun. It just, oh, I love the art and the craftsmanship of a gun or a sword. Well, yeah, but you only use it to cause harm, so.
Yeah, it's not like you use a sword to cut your cheese, to cut your toenails, to cut your baby's hair, to cut grass. You just don't. So when you say that, I can appreciate that there is a certain kinetic attraction for hefting this particular item, you know, in your hands, through the air, whatever. But then you have to ask yourself, what's the outcome? What's the consequences? And if you say something like, well, I get good exercise, you can't get good exercise with something else. You know, so let's look at this word. I'm fascinated by white folks trying to figure out.
How can I?
Yeah. What is the etiquette of using the N-word? It's like about the same as defecating in public, I guess. I don't know. No. And any attempt to have a conversation and under the guise of academic or intellectual inquiry is the nicest word I can think about, I can use is obfuscation. But in truth, all it is trying to wrangle the right yet again to use words of imperialism and harm.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And if you have words that are not imperialistic or decide to call harm, give us a call.
Thank you for calling me out and telling me to calm my happy self down. Okay.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Cecil. You know, words are words. You know, it depends on you. We have to learn discretion, you know, because I mean, there's some words that, you know, people, well, I'll never use that word. But there's words that word they'll never use, I grew up with, you know.
Yep.
And when I use it with my friends, it's like with love, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that depends. It depends. Are you and your friend with whom you use these words of the same cohort? I mean, if you are the same age or color or gender or whatever, and you're of that group, okay, you know. But then, you know, there's code switching. I'm hip. You know, I understand code switching.
But still the same thing. It's not a matter of whether we're, like, if I'm using the N-word and I'm using it with a bunch of black folks and we're just kicking it around and it means nothing to them. Well, I may have one white friend that I use that same word with because we just came up that way.
Well, I still say you're playing with a gun. I mean, well, you know, there's a lot of internalized hatred and self-loathing that have come behind that word. So my question
if they use it out of self-loathing, that, you know, I guess that's something they have to learn. But when I use it with my friends, we said it all our lives. We'll never stop saying it.
Well, that's okay, you. And here's my point. A lot of people do things that hurt themselves or hurt other folks. And they think because that's the way I grew up, I'm not going to change. And you know what happens to organisms that don't change? They die.
Well, we're all going to die.
Yeah, we all going to die, but I would rather die elevated, transcended. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying, you know, but, I mean, if you mean it to say, look, this is where I am, you know, and I have a certain relationship or responsibility in my use of this word, I'm going to say whatever. But if you're telling me because you want my opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is going to be different from the fact that I'm going to accept you. I'm going to accept that that's who you are, but I'm going to say, do you have to stay that way?
Well, you know, that's a matter of opinion. It's a matter people deal with, sometimes people come from intelligence, which is cool, you know, but that's not always the answer. Some people come from, you know, which makes them feel good, you know.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But sometimes you have to, you know, it's an internal thing. You have to discern where to come from with a group of people. You know, just like when you're out doing
organizing activated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can bring facts to people and people don't care.
True that. You know? True that.
People don't care. Yeah. But if you bring them situations that make them feel something, that can be what turns them around.
That is a good point.
Thank you so much.
You know, that's why I was talking about the different word. You know, now the person that uses that word, they have to have the intelligence and they'll learn, you know. They have to have the intelligence to use that word with the right
person. Right person, yeah.
Oh, yes, because you could walk away with a mouthful of no teeth.
That's right.
That's a point. All righty. Well, thanks for your call.
Thank you. And one point that you made, Celeste, that I think we all recognize is code switching.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I think the caller was also referenced to. You know,
yes,
you know
I think
when
so.
And how to use certain terms mm-hmm. and with whom. Let's go to Cheryl. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. I'm at a disadvantage here because I only tuned in 10 minutes ago, but I would like to make two comments. One, I think we're starting to tiptoe through every kind of word that's out there these days. It's a difficult time. We're all on a really big, long learning curve. But second, I want to say I'm a kind of voracious reader, and I read a lot of the classics. And just recently, and I just can't remember, this is why I'm saying I'm at a disadvantage, I cannot remember which of the books I read this in recently, but I've read that N-word twice in literature. I read, you know, good books. And so what do we do about that? And you may have already discussed this, but what do we do about that? Because they're classics, and I don't think any publisher is going to go back and say,
okay, let me jump in because we're a little short of time, and I want to get to what you said. You asked a good question. My first thing is, why are they a classic? See, that's somebody else's metric.
Well, yeah.
You know, and so to insist that, well, but I mean, it's important. It's a classic. It's like a classic for what culture? And why is it a classic? And does the fact that it denigrates somebody have any bearing on whether it's a classic or not?
Okay,
I think, for example,
I have to interrupt you because of the time. That is even used in black writers, Langston Hughes.
And do you understand the context, though? Because it's a big difference from the way Mark Twain used it and the way Langston Hughes used it or the way Toni Morrison uses it. You know, there's a big difference. So you really have to.
Why is it out there?
Because white culture put it out there.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm absolutely sure.
None of us lived in the 1850s.
I got family that did. I got family that did, and I can tell you what they told me, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, I can see I'm not going to win any of this. But
it's not a winning situation. I was hoping it would be enlightened, but if you're going to insult us by saying who put it out there, come on. I need you to think for a minute. Okay, just because something is a classic doesn't exonerate it from blame.
So that was my question. Should publishers redact that?
Yes.
Go back? Oh.
Oh, you're surprised. You asked me.
Yeah, I know.
You asked me.
I'm wondering, so how would that be done?
Oh, well, you know, if you call back next week when we got more time, we can have that conversation.
Okay, all right. All right, have a good day. Goodbye.
All righty.
And let's see if we can get our last caller in, and we have like 45 seconds, Amanda.
Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you for this conversation. And Michael, sometimes you just need to shut up and listen, white dude. I mean, come on. Let's get some humility here. And yeah, there's a lot of words that need to be stopped, used. And stop. Just stop, sit down, and listen. And shut the hell up.
All righty. Thank you so much. We got 2 seconds for one call. Hit it. Who have we got here?
Good morning.
Oh, that was it. Okay. All right. All right. This was a lively conversation, and we were talking about everything from different treatment of people of color and gender to the fact that, you know, cultural sensitivity and human compassion dictate that you walk toward each other with some understanding. And I think it was Michael that said discernment. And, I'm sorry, but I think we're out of time here. But I do want to thank everybody who called. I appreciate, you know, Cecil and I love it when you call, even if we disagree. And that's part of what KBOO is for, and that's part of what communication is for, is to understand, to transcend our limitations. Thank you all for helping KBOO be here to transcend. Support us. Go to kboo.fm and donate. Thanks to Ray, our engineer.
Listening to Community Radio, KBOO, Portland.